Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number three. I'm Jim Galante along with Dustin Hawkinsmith. And Dustin, we've got a fun segment or two coming up here where we are going to talk about buying the hype. And here's what that means. We're in the off season or spring practice. James Franklin and his coaching staff have been meeting the media, taking questions. And what we get right now is hype. If you talk about assistant coaches, remember a year ago it was all about Kirk Ciarrocca. He was the greatest offensive coordinator ever until this year when Mike Yurcich took over that title. So we're always going to get that hype. And the question is, are we able to kind of weed our way through all of that and find the nuggets that are true and legitimate and things that you should buy into? So just for background, to explain to our audience who don't listen to the press conferences, let me sum it up to you this way. Media member A asks James Franklin, say, about player XYZ, and then James Franklin proceeds to tell us how great player XYZ is. And we've got to decide, are you buying the hype or not? So, Dustin, first of all, did I frame that correctly? And how do you go about filtering out what's just hype and what's legitimate?
It's a really difficult thing in the spring. And we've seen it again and again, specifically when it comes to the blue-white game and what we think we see in that game. And I think one of the things that most people in any kind of scouting realm would tell you is that you have to learn how to ignore the result and focus on the tools or the skills or the skill set that got him to that point, because that's what's going to last moving forward. Now, we're not looking at film and watching these guys, but I think it's the same kind of deal where you're trying to rely on your own eye test, your own personal opinion, what you knew about that player going in, what it looks like his role could be in 2021, and then let's frame all the coaches' comments or the teammates' comments around what we think to be true. And, you know, sometimes we're going to be right, sometimes we're going to be wrong. I would never expect James Franklin to be asked a question about a kid and take the opportunity to bash the kid, but there are different degrees of hype. And I think that's the exercise we're going through here, is that there are things that sound and look more legitimate than others. And so that's kind of the essence of it, is trying to figure out what's legitimate and maybe explain like my rationale for why I think it's legitimate or not.
And as an example of how you differentiate, we talked last segment about the linebackers, specifically about Curtis Jacobs. You know, James Franklin could have gone on for 25 minutes about how great Curtis Jacobs is, and he pretty much did, but the one line, and he almost just threw it out there like off the cuff. Well, if we were playing tomorrow, he'd be starting. That superseded everything he said. You know, that was the relevant point that you had to take away. So, Dustin, let's, in quarter three and four, we're going to talk about some of this spring hype. Quarter number three, let's start on the offensive side of the ball. And you talked about how you interpret some of the things that are said. Let's start with Rasheed Walker. All of us know this is a very talented kid. He's the incumbent starting left tackle. He will be out there and every day, every game. And there was actually even a chance for him to go to the NFL this year, declare for the draft, which he didn't. So now we're hearing a lot of hype about him and his process, that he's much more mature, he's taking on leadership roles. How much are you buying into Rasheed Walker taking the next step?
Oh, I'm buying that completely, and I think it's an interesting situation just for all the reasons that you mentioned. We knew that he was a talented kid. We've seen it with our own eyes. We've seen him be a two-year starter, and it's almost like if you're not talking much about your left tackle, he's probably doing a good job, but it's not that position that's going to grab a lot of attention. Now, I think just the situation he's in where he had to make a decision, he was at a crossroads. Do I make the leap and maybe take a bit of a risk and declare for the draft as a redshirt sophomore? Or do I come back and try to build on what I've done so far and try to improve myself to be better positioned next year? And I think the fact that he came back maybe increased the urgency a little bit of saying, okay, this is probably it. I've got another year. Let's make the most of it. Or else what did I come back for if it wasn't to make the most of this situation? And it does sound like he's added another layer of preparation, work, leadership, maturity, and that can only help bring out the physical tools that we know that he has. So I'm buying this for sure.
And I also believe you make a good point there, Dustin, with the guys who had an opportunity to declare for the draft and then decide not to. They're typically guys who are on a mission to prove that they're ready for the NFL, to prove that their decision to stick around was a smart one, and they want to improve their draft stock. Look, on the offensive side, let's stay with the offensive line just a little bit longer. With the young guns, Landon Tangwall and also Nate Bruce. I know you've been a Tangwall guy from the start. You loved his high school tape. But it seems like both he and Nate Bruce are getting a lot of play.
Yeah, and I don't think I've heard anything that I don't agree with when it comes to both of these guys. Nate Bruce has that Steven Gonzalez, you know, what do we do about the fact that he's 351? Do we embrace that because his game is built on power and occupying space and being an immovable object? Or do we ask him to redefine his body a little bit, maybe redefine his game a little bit? Steven Gonzalez, he played around 340 for a lot of his career at Penn State, and it worked out just fine for him. I think Nate Bruce might fall under that category. In terms of Landon Tangwall, you know, I just what Rasheed Walker said about him last week, said he came in very, very sharp. He's strong as an ox. I could see him being a starter his second year, and he might even play this year. I think in some way or another, we've said that on the Keystone Kickoff Show, all those sentiments a bunch of times. Very sharp, very ready, very self-motivated, self-driven. He is strong as an ox. He's built like a college offensive lineman right away. Not a lot to redefine for Dwight Gault there. So it just kind of comes down to opportunity for Landon Tangwall. Is he going to force that opportunity or is he not? And that's something we'll have to keep kind of watching this spring and summer. But with him, I absolutely buy that. Everything Rasheed Walker said, I agree with it.
I'm really intrigued by the new running back, John Lovett. It's a fairly full running back room before Lovett even gets there. I can't imagine that he imagines he's coming in and not playing. So should we be buying into the hype, the compliments that we're hearing about John Lovett, the running back transfer from Baylor?
To me, it would defy the odds a bit if he came in and did more at Penn State, was asked to do more than he did at his highest point at Baylor. His career high was 109 rushes at Baylor. So you're looking at eight or nine roughly a game there. Is his role going to grow beyond what it was there? And I think they changed coaching staffs, and I think just he wasn't a fit necessarily last season. You saw his production really slip. But to me, I mean, it would be optimal if he's more like your number three running back than he is vying for number one. I haven't seen him in person. I haven't seen him move. So I don't know if he, to what extent physically he's capable of doing more than what it shows on a stat sheet. But 4 years worth of stat sheet at Baylor, to me, just kind of suggests that we're not looking at a lead back here, but we're looking at a guy who can bring some much needed big physical running and experience to a depth chart that, yeah, it has options, but two are freshman eligibility. A third is, and two others are sophomore eligibility. We don't really know what to expect from Devin Ford. We know what to expect from John Lovett. I think we know what to expect when it comes to him preparing and practicing. And I think that's what the coaching staff has liked about him. He's shown that sort of professional approach since the moment he arrived. And that's been the nature of the compliments being thrown his way.
Another guy, and I got to admit, this is one of my favorite players, and that's Parker Washington, the wide receiver, who he's probably built more like a running back. He's 5'10", 205. So in many ways, this is a running back playing wide receiver. And I always thought, you know, after watching the high school tape, this is a guy, once he gets the ball in his hands, he's going to break tackles and make runs like a running back. We saw hints of that last year. A lot of compliments he's getting this spring. Before you even answer if you're buying, Dustin, I'm buying, okay?
You're buying. That means more than me anyway. But I've been buying Parker Washington from the moment that I saw him. I'm buying again that he's able to take what he did last year and build on it. Build on his strengths as a player, which that's it to me. You know, being able to take a short catch and turn it into a long gain. And oh, by the way, I think he's shown the full complement of skills when it comes to, you know, body control and going up for 50-50 balls and stuff like that. But his strength is going to be in that ability to hit him short and let him go to work. And boy, that is a really good thing for an offense and a quarterback that you're not quite sure exactly what he's made of. It's a nice thing to have at your disposal. A guy like Parker Washington, who you can get the ball in his hands and let him go to work. And I do think that he's going to take what we've seen so far, and he's going to be better in every one of those individual areas. That's what Taylor Stubblefield was alluding to when he talked about Parker Washington recently. And I am 100% buying that too.
I really am, and we saw hints of it last year. He did break some tackles. It's just a matter of time before he really makes some huge plays by breaking those tackles, those yards after catch. Finally, Dustin, in our last minute, Sean Clifford, and stop me if you've heard this before, but the talk about how he's working hard, he's competitive, he's a leader. Oh, wait a minute. Those are my notes from last spring. Let me get this year's notes. Let's see. Sean Clifford's working hard. He's being very competitive. He's being a leader. We've heard this before, haven't we? But are we buying?
Yeah, we've learned nothing new. I mean, what we learned last year is that stuff doesn't guarantee success. It helps. But, you know, being able to kind of harness your ability in a game situation. That's the question that I have about Sean Clifford. I know that he works hard. It does seem like he's got a magnetism and he embraces a leadership role. He wants it really bad for himself. He wants it really bad for his team. It's true now, just as it was true last year, just as it was true 2 years ago. The question is, what else is there? And what ways is he growing beyond those areas that we knew were strengths? I don't think we have an answer to that for that until September.
And we probably will learn that in September with big games against Wisconsin, out-of-conference game with Auburn. We're going to find out right away. And with the new offensive coordinator, we're going to find out right away if Sean Clifford could put it all together. He better, because I'm not sure there's a backup ready to step in and take over. Dustin, that is it for quarter number three and buying the hype on offense. Quarter number four, we're going to look at buying the hype on defense. Stick with us.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the GOAT.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.